Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
See Dan Fates on 13WM Sports, BuffaloPlus.com, the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel as well. He stops by the sports bar now. And Dan, we like to say in the sports bar, no one cares when you're right because they just want to tell you when you're wrong. But with that in mind, while we were having conversations early in the preseason about the future of DeMar Hamlin, one man I think stood out, and that man was you, saying, not only do I think DeMar Hamlin is making this team, he's going to be your week one starter. Victory lap time, buddy.
Yeah, I've had some hot takes that have been wrong, but nobody cares about that. They just care when you're right, and that's all that matters. And I was saying that he had a really good mini camp. He had a good OTAs. He started to look like his old self. And when everybody was saying it's only a matter of time before they call him Micah Hyde and they drafted Cole Bishop and these things, I was one saying DeMar Hamlin will start week one. And feels pretty good, guys, as Jenna Cottrell next to me is wants to hit me. That's what I'll say right now.
Well, part of why I wanted to bring it up is I know how much it makes Jenna's blood boil. And right now she's probably like, oh, I can't believe these guys are letting you actually, you know, take this victory lap.
Yeah, and we'll do our practice recap on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel as we're driving back from practice. And I'm going to be insufferable. Like, if you guys want to see, like, just make sure to check it out. Mike is already trying to put an asterisk next to it. Sometimes people don't want you to succeed. And I'll say this, there are a few things better in life. Going to be a father of three in the coming, you know, months.
Yes,
that's
dude.
Great. That's great. It's also really good to be right.
Dan, so congratulations on that, Dan. And you've got Thank Danger you. Beaten by one.
Yeah, nobody likes a one-upper,
yeah,
Dan.
Like,
three girls? Come on.
Three girls. All right. One other question I have on DeMar Hamlin. And more often than not, postseason awards. And it's silly maybe to ask a postseason award question in week one here. But I thought it was egregious that DeMar Hamlin didn't get Comeback Player of the Year award last year. If he starts the majority of games for the Buffalo Bills and makes meaningful contributions, can we just give him that award already?
Yeah, he should have won it last year, the fact that he was, again, on the NFL roster. And I think we lost sight of DeMar played 2 years ago before his injury and started 15 games and was really good filling in for Micah Hyde when he had his neck injury. Like, and obviously the story, the journey, the, you know, happy ending of this has been lost on the side of he's a damn good football player too that had 90-plus tackles when he started those 15 games. So, like, this is – I think we've lost sight of, hey, DeMar, not just a great story of – overcoming the odds and being alive, he proved that he could play as a starting safety in the NFL when he was called upon. So that was what, and he knew the system. That was the one thing that when we were at training camp, we were talking to Taron Johnson about, hey, you know, there's no Poyer and Hyde back there. What's it been like? What are you seeing? And the first thing he said was, DeMar's a guy that knows the system. And it's so important, and Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage and those guys, having somebody with familiarity with the system, DeMar has that. And that's a big key.
Now, I don't want to be a hater, but, I mean, seriously, what's the over-under on when we see Cole Bishop out there starting? Is it and we're not wishing any ill or injury on any player, but, I mean, it's you drafted a guy in the second round for a reason. He's not going to sit on the bench all season, is he?
I don't know, Jim, in my Tony Romo voice, because they drafted Terrell Bernard in the third round with hopes of looking at the future. You know, Terrell Bernard sat the whole year behind Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. And we were going, well, he's just a special teams guy. And he even said how difficult it is his first year learning the playbook and learning all of those things and then getting comfortable in the system. So maybe this is kind of just a learning year for a guy like Cole Bishop. That's not a knock to say that McDermott doesn't play as rookies, because we've seen him play rookies. So that excuse doesn't work. But if DeMar plays and plays well, it's his job, and I don't see him losing it unless injury or a lack of production.
The Bills go from eight captains down to two, Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard, but there is a leadership council. Do you at 13 WAM Buffalo Plus have a leadership council, Dan?
Yeah, it's me and me and me. That's our leadership council in Buffalo Plus. Mike's got headphones on. He's not even.
I mean, you're just trolling your passengers.
Yeah,
I mean,
I hear everything.
Me trolling? I would never, by any means, troll my coworkers or anything. That doesn't sound like me.
The idea that the Bills go down to two captains, is this kind of a way to mask that, hey, we really can't have Von Miller as a captain once again?
I tweeted out earlier in the day who I thought they'd go seven captains. I thought, you know, Deion Dawkins would be one on offense. I thought Mac Hollins could be one just from the veteran leader in the wide receiver room. I thought Von because he's been a captain every single year. I also thought Taron Johnson really is a leader on that defense. He's been around, has, you know, was there through the Poyer, Hyde, Trey White era, and has kind of stayed in the background, only spoke when really needed to, but I think he's earned that. I think his play has shown that, and I think that there's a lot of guys that are going to be leaders. This is cliche. They're all going to be a part of this, but the Von thing would have been interesting if he would have been named a captain this year, for sure.
Dan, what does it look like on Sunday? Because we've got a lot of unknowns about this offense. Yeah. We didn't see much of it in the preseason. The defense certainly has a new look to it as well. Arizona promises to be better than they were last year, I would imagine. Plus, you've got this unbelievable weapon in rookie Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, is that something that they're going to exploit with the Bills and their secondary? What's your outlook for what this, how this game kind of plays out? It feels like it could be a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, the Cardinals were the worst defense in the league last year. But the big thing we still don't know, we went into training camp, not sure how all Bills' offensive pieces would kind of work together and fit in and how they would all, you know, gel and find their roles. And we've left preseason, and we still don't really know their roles or how they're all going to gel together. We asked Deion Dawkins today in the locker room about what's one word to describe this Bills' offense, because Brandon Bean was very candid, saying he wishes the starters would have gotten more time together in the preseason, but because of injuries and other reasons, they really had their hands, you know, tied behind their backs that they couldn't play the starters. And Deion said, unpredictable. And we all kind of laughed, like, well, what does that mean? He's like, I don't mean it in a bad way, but just the fact of last year you knew who was getting the ball and you knew where the ball was going. Like, defenses don't really know where the ball is going to go on this offense. We asked Curtis Samuel, because he said the same thing about this unpredictability of this Bills offense, and we kind of joked and said, do you guys know what you guys are going to look like? And Curtis kind of laughed and was like, totally, absolutely we know what we're going to look like. Like, they've stressed that it is this Joe Brady philosophy of everybody eats, and that you just have to wait your turn to get your dinner, and that they're going to spread the ball around and all these things. That sounds great in theory, guys. It's just a matter of there's going to be times when you need somebody to go make a play, and we just don't know necessarily who that guy's going to be. So defensively, I'm very confident in Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, and they just turn out top five defenses. No matter the injuries, no matter Milano's out or anything like that, they just perform. That's the standard. The unknown, you know, heading into Sunday especially, is their offensive continuity with all the new pieces, which we would have hoped we would have a better idea heading into week one. We don't. It helps that it's Arizona, a bad defensive team that could be a part of it. But there's, Sean said too, we're going to learn a lot about our team as the weeks goes on. And that, I don't think there's anything truer than that.
Yeah, Dan Fates, 13 WAM Buffalo Plus, our guest here in the sports bar. And Dan, I've asked, you know, variations of this question here, but here we are, week one, and how far the Bills go will determine a lot of where Josh Allen's game is at, and can he be that MVP candidate once again? As we're, you know, entering week one here, give us like the state of Josh Allen. Where is the Bills franchise quarterback heading into the season?
There's more in his plate than there's ever been before. It's not fair to say pressure or anything like that, because his resume speaks for itself. And his play over these last few years, as he has risen to the second-best quarterback in the league. And just because he's not number one doesn't mean you have to use Patrick Mahomes to beat down Josh Allen for, you know, what he's done. Mahomes has been a thief of joy for every team in the NFL, like what Tom Brady did for two decades in New England and in Tampa Bay. But it's, I talked to Dan Orlovsky this offseason, and he talked about, does Josh have the discipline to continuously take the check down when defenses give it to him? And to understand, you don't need to make every single throw in every single situation. He talked about a comparison. It was my favorite story Orlovsky told me. He said he was watching film the one day with Matt Stafford in Detroit, and it was like first and 10, and the guy was triple covered. And he said Stafford threw the ball in there, and it was a perfect throw, right? And he goes, Matt, like, why didn't you take this check down for 5 yards? And he said Stafford looked at him and said, because you make that throw. I make the other throw. Like, that's how good these guys are. Like, Josh can make every throw, but it doesn't mean you need to make every throw. And especially if guys aren't open, can Josh be that? Mahomes did it last year with bad wide receivers, right? To be a game manager at times, to play boring football. Josh is always exciting. But this year, more than ever, he may need to play more boring style of football to be successful as an offense and set the team up for long term.
Dan, what's your outlook on Keon Coleman? I think a lot of people are excited to see the Bills rookie. He certainly gained a lot of fans through the course of the preseason, but we also know that Sean McDermott, you know, offensively in the past, we've seen him kind of like work guys in. We saw Dalton Kincaid get worked in through the course of last season. Do you think it's a quick start for the rookie, or do you think he gets kind of slowly worked in?
I think it's a quicker start than Kincaid. I think that they were easing Kincaid in more, but I think they're going to have to rush Keon because of there's not necessarily a Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis ahead of him. Like, they need Keon to produce and produce quickly for this offense. I think that explosive plays, because we've kind of said, like, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir and all these guys, they all kind of do the same thing, and they usually kind of work within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and over the middle of the field. So Keon's going to be that one piece that I think, you know, we joke around, Jen and Mike and I joke around, that Keon can play, quote-unquote, above the rim. That's what we all like to say about guys that can, you know, are big and physical and tall. But I think that's going to be a huge part that the Bills, if they want to have explosive plays, I think it starts with Keon. To have downfield plays, to have 50-50 balls, to have Josh have the confidence to know they can go up and get him. The flip side is that Keon's going to go up against corners for the first time, that they're going to show him different defenses. He's going to face better press coverage than he ever saw at Florida State. Like, it's going to be a learning on the fly, but I think he does kind of have to get thrown in the deep end of the pool if the Bills offense wants to get off to if they want to put up 30-something points against Arizona. I think Keon's going to have more than 3 catches and 30 yards, like this Kincaid ease him in. I think he's got to be explosive, and I think they have to, give him opportunities early and often.
Dan, I believe there's no such thing as a must win in week one, so that's how I'm prefacing this. But when you look at what's coming up next, and they're not going to talk about this, but it's a short week to Miami, and it's another playoff caliber team. And then you have this brutal 3-game stretch away from the stadium. How important is it to get a W against, it's a winnable game, I would say, against Arizona here?
Yeah, it's huge. You're right. There's no such thing as a must-win week one game, but there will be overreactions one way or another. That is what Mike always loves about week one, is that some teams will be thinking Super Bowl while other teams will already be thinking about who's going to be gets the number one overall pick in the draft. Like, that's just the way the life in the NFL works, especially after a long offseason. We're just dying to see football. But I think it's big for Joe Brady. I think it's big for this pieces, like, Stephon Diggs goes and does his GQ article, and I've been a Diggs defender. I'm not trying to defend his actions, but I think that it's so quickly people have turned on him. But say that this wide receivers can't get open and the Bills are trailing and things like that. Like, you're going to be answered if the offense doesn't look smooth, which, again, was the big thing we talked about this offseason, was what was wrong with the offense at the end of the year, so on and so forth. That conversation is going to be coming up. And again, you've moved on. It's in the past. But you also need to have a backup plan, and what was your plan moving on from Diggs? And this is going to be the first time that they're going to be tested, and the first time to say, hey, the offense doesn't look right, give them time and all these things, but that's not how the NFL works. That's not how the media circus works around NFL teams. So big to make, again, you don't have to cover the 6-point spread, but look competent on offense, because that's not something that, again, we didn't see in the preseason, and I don't care about the preseason, but to see some continuity, some rhythm to the offense, I think would be very the nerves of Bills fans moving forward into the early part of the year.
Dad, it's interesting because I don't know if you've shared your prediction for the season yet or if you're saving that for a future episode of Buffalo Plus, but we always kind of think to ourselves, all right, what happens if it doesn't go well? And who would the scapegoat be? There's been a scapegoat, you could say, pretty much every year that the season has ended. You know, scapegoat last year happened in the middle of the season. It was Ken Dorsey. Get rid of him. Move on. Things are so much better with Joe Brady. Do you have a scapegoat this year? For me, it's like, all right, well, you're carrying all that dead cap, so maybe Brandon Bean is a scapegoat.
Yeah. Do we have to talk about a scapegoat before week one of the NFL playoff, guys? Like, is that what we're doing here?
We explore all options.
Okay, I'm just saying, we're acting like the Bills are 0-3. I don't like that vibe, Danger. I just want to put that out there. I think if there is a scapegoat, you can look and say, you know, it's a transition year, right? Like, that's what you'll say. And again, on paper, this roster is not as good as the Jets. Like, it just isn't. Like, they're not favored to win the division. I still think they will win the division, but I think that that's part of where you're looking at it and going, this is a retooling year. Jen and I once talked about it. It's not a rebuild because you have Josh Allen, and when you have Josh Allen, you're never rebuilding. You always have a chance. But this roster is being tweaked. You've got new safeties. You've got a whole new wide receiver room. Like a lot of this stuff is. Still needs to be figured out, and we haven't kicked the ball off yet, and Danger's already talking about who the scapegoat of the season is going to be.
I'm saying if, Dan.
You feel my pain, Dan. You feel my pain here in the sports part. Dan Fates 13. Have you made a prediction yet, or is that something we can look forward to on Buffalo Pluser?
We got our show tomorrow. It's going to be a live show on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel at 7:15. We're going to give all of our week preview for the Cardinals game, our predictions. We're going to have a punishment for whoever finishes in last in that win-loss record for that. We'll also give our season prediction as well for that. So I'll save it for that because I still don't really know what I think is going to happen.
All right. Dan, safe travels.
Wait, 75-75.
Don't do it.
Braves 75 wins. The Mets have caught the Braves. Oh, yes. Here we come. And not that I wish injury on anybody, but Bryce Harper leaving today's game. Dan, this is coming. My prediction, and I will be taking a victory lap all around the city of Rochester, that the Mets will get in the last. They will win. They will beat the Brewers. They will beat the Phillies. They will get to the NLCS. I cannot wait. One by one, we're going to take you down.
Wait, what was that? Wait, sorry, you're breaking up there, Gene. Sorry, couldn't hear you.
Dan,
what was that?
Can you hear me when I say who? This guy talking like, oh, you feel my pain. Dan, who's in more pain in this room right now, me or this social misfit Mets fan across from me?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's an adorable story. I'm so glad you guys swept the worst team in MLB history. Like, that was a big 3 wins for you guys. Like, I don't know. It's tough to beat the White Sox, but you guys were able to do it.
Oh, yeah. The Rockies might get you again tonight, Dan.
Who do you, if you get into a one-game playoff or whatever the wild card is, because we haven't been in it because we've usually won the division, so I'm not totally familiar about how that works. But the fact of the matter is, like, you're good rolling out Sean Manaea. Like, you're like, this is the guy, right? Like, you're good with that.
The MVP for the National League, believe it or not, there are people that are going to put Francisco Lindor on their ballot, Dan.
Yes, you're right. And just like Brandon Bean says, there are idiots everywhere.
Dan, thanks for the time. Safe travels, man. Enjoy week one. Let's talk again soon.
Yeah, go Braves.
You got it. Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports. You didn't have to go there. We're having a nice football conversation.
Hey, it's important.
I even fell on the sword. I'm not trying to wreck good vibes. I'm just wondering, like, what if it goes badly? Like, what do they have in mind? Yeah, I know nobody wants to hear that now, but
well, it is a valid point. And I think the answer there is, well, what could you do? We couldn't, you know, the cap, but the cap will be much better next year. Ta-da. It's all fine.
Next year.
Next year.
What about this year? Well, we'll see. They haven't even snapped yet. I'll give you that.
Again, I'm going to make the analogy to how everybody plays golf. You remember the good stuff from last year. Just like you remember the good shot, the one you put like just right by the pin. Yes, you remember that shot. You forget all the pain and the ugliness that was last year.
I didn't forget.
You forget you lost to Mac Jones and Russell Wilson, and you lost to freaking Zach Wilson.
You almost lost to Tyrod Taylor. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it was that first half of the season wasn't good.
Yes. So maybe change isn't a bad thing here, Danger.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe it takes this team a little bit of time to ramp up. Maybe you need that middle of the season. You get that bye week, and then you make the adjustments. But we're way ahead of ourselves here. I mean, it is, after all, we haven't even kicked off week one. We'll have the game for you here on The Fan Rochester. Our coverage starts at 9 a.m., that's on Sunday morning.
Nine times.
Right before kickoff, coming up at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon from Highmark Stadium. And, of course, you'll have Chris Brown, you'll have E. Wood, and Sal on the call.
Can you imagine what that conversation is like driving back and forth to Buffalo, the three of them?
Well, I think they're just... Dan is going to be insufferable. I think they're all just bracing for just how insufferable Dan is going to be, knowing that one of... If MVS... leads the Bills in receiving yards?
Oh, no.
I mean, oh, no. Name a middle school after Dan Fates, because that was his bold prediction about this team going into the preseason.
MVS is a complete afterthought now. And that should be kind of the lesson when we get to training camp next year. It's like the fifth wide receiver. Is it really that important? If you are leaning on your fifth wide receiver to make major contributions, then we got a problem.
We'll get to happy hour next on The Fan Rochester. And yeah, the Bills making a little bit of news today. Damar Hamlin will get the start week one at safety. We'll talk about that decision by the Buffalo Bills. Not like they had many choices. There hasn't been a lot of availability at the position. And also team captains and why only two team captains this year feels like might have been the only move the Buffalo Bills to make. But don't worry. There's a leadership council. So you'll know that every time there's a team meeting, breakfast pizza and bagels and coffee for everybody, thanks to the leadership council.
The leadership council will be in effect. We got to have a leadership council meeting tomorrow, Danger, because or tonight maybe to prepare for three heads and another embracing everybody tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get you teed up for tomorrow afternoon as well when we take the show on the road to our favorite spot, Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue in the neighborhood of the Arts. That's all coming up with Happy Hour, as well as your calls at 866-4326 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.